This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve, with my little pal, Tacey, the most excellent serving wench. Hello, Tacey.
Hi, everybody.
And the return of P.A. Jill, the also most excellent
Yay!
Serving wench.
Hello!
And from the bowels of a medical school that will remain unnamed, Dr. X. Hello, Dr.
Hello.
X. It's a different Dr. X, everybody. You're not. I think you're like the third person that I said, what do you want your radio name to be? And it's like, Doctor.
I'm the original.
This is a show for people who never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question, you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcast medical news and stuff you can buy. Or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine, where everything you buy, we make 25 cents. Most importantly,
buy all you can. Right?
Buy a million things and we'll be fine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. So Dr. X, every time, I used to just say, talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, I say physician's assistant. I got corrected on that one. Not by P.A. Jill or P.A. John, who were on the show for almost 10 years, but by some listener who said his wife was offended because I said physician's assistant.
Right.
So I was wrong.
Yeah, drop that apostrophe S.
Yep. So is it physician hyphen assistant then? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Well, there's not a hyphen. It's just physician assistant.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a title.
Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so then after that, anytime somebody complained, well, why don't you say clinical laboratory scientist? I would just add it in there.
Naturopathic doctor.
There
as
you
well.
Go. No, I won't add that. No, thank you.
Veterinarian.
No, I would. I would. If we had
On Facebook, those are the best though.
Yeah.
People never find the answer until they go to see one of those guys.
That's right.
Partly true.
Well, and we could talk about selection bias because that's really interesting. So, but first, let me get a couple of plugs in, even though now
we don't have to talk about selection. I just want to get this over with.
Go to feels.com/fluid, F-L-U-I-D. Stuff.drsteve.com for all of your Amazon needs. Stuff.drsteve.com is the driving force behind Weird Medicine. Tweakedaudio.com. Offer code FLUID, F-L-U-I-D, for 33% off the best earbuds for the price on the market and the best customer service anywhere. And if you want to lose weight and get to your ideal body weight with me, go to Noom.drsteve.com. Noom is not a diet. It's a psychology app. It has completely changed my life. It's amazing. Even when I binge on rice cakes now, and I love it. You know, it's totally changed my life. I used to binge on bags and bags of Snickers.
So I'm down 6 pounds.
All right. Very good. Wait a minute. Let me give you one of these. Good job, Taze.
It's very slow, but it is happening. And it's not too hard. So if I can just
it's not
keep
a diet.
My mental attitude and do what I've been doing. And what did you call it, Jill, the other day? You said?
Thought work?
Relentless.
Oh, relentless effort.
Relentless effort. Mm-hmm. Just not ever giving up. A bad day does not mean
that's right.
A bad day.
It doesn't. It's relentless effort. So you have a bad day, but it doesn't matter because you have relentless effort to get
and
to your goal.
And it doesn't even have
just
to be
going.
A bad day.
You've got your whole life to do this. It doesn't have to happen tomorrow.
They talk about non-scale rewards. In other words, that it's not just about the scale. Now I can fit into some better clothes. I look better. When I look at a picture of myself now, I don't immediately just go, yuck, like I used to. I still, you know, if I look at it, it's like, look at that head on that noggin on that
he
guy.
He thinks he has an eggplant head.
I do. I got an egg that looks
you
like
you do not.
Like a head that looks like an egg that mated with an eggplant.
No.
Because, I got this parotid. Dr.
You know,
X,
Steve,
that's your next thing
stop.
Is to figure out what's wrong with my, what I can do about my parotid hypertrophy. So I have like mumps. And my brother noticed it. And it's like, well, that's why my face looks so stupid. And I went to an ENT and he went, yep, you got that. And it's like, well, what can you do about it? Nothing. It's like, we got to figure out something that we can do. So that's your next
it's
job before I see
Photoshop.
You.
Photoshop.
Photoshop.
That's exactly right.
Photoshop is a hell of a drug.
That's right.
And if you want archives of this show, which of course you do, go to drsteve.com. In the middle of the page, you can click on a link, and for $30, you get a 32-gig thumb drive with every show on it, including P.A. Jill and P.A. John going back to the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Million years
plus,
ago. Plus, right?
Dr. X, I'll give you one of these. It's a weird medicine COVID face mask.
Awesome.
Oh, you know what I found
and
the
you get
other
one
day,
of those,
Steve?
Too, and then I throw in a little extra something. What,
the
Jill?
The flatus flute.
Oh, you got a flatus flute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never made a penny off of those, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
There's one behind you. See, isn't there one behind you there? I wanted Dr. X to see it.
I don't see it.
I don't either, but I do. I found like okay. three. Remember when I cleaned my closet out, Taze, and I found all that good stuff?
Yeah.
So Dr. X,
flatus flute was part of that.
The flatus flute is, and don't think less of me as now that I'm no longer your attending and now we can be friends. It is a whistling butt plug, and it's just a joke, but the artwork was done by a guy named Son of Fritz. He's a German immigrant. His parents are German, and he's a really cool artist. His artwork sort of looks like Ren and Stimpy, and what it is there's this hairy ass that is shooting out flatus in the form of musical notes into my face, and I'm smiling like it's the greatest thing that ever happened. So if you want to check that out, go to flatusflute.com. Anyway, all right, well, let's get this show going.
Oh, you must have one.
Now, before you went to medical school, you were an paramedic, and you did fire truck stuff, right? And you actually were going to drive the hook and ladder, is that right? Tell me about that, because I didn't even know do they still have the ones where the person sits in the back and has to steer the back of the truck or whatever the hell you call it?
So when I was back in the fire department, they mainly call them tillers. No longer hook and ladder, but very few departments have them nowadays. So the department that I actually joined didn't have them, unfortunately. But it was my goal in life to hopefully be able to drive a tiller, and maybe one day I still can.
So the tiller is the one that's got the...
Tiller is the one that has the two drivers, that has the separate base where you need the driver in front and the back to be able to direct the
And that's so that
truck.
They can cut corners better?
Mm-hmm. Better okay. in cities, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
do
yeah.
really well in cities.
That's really cool.
It is cool as hell.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Never thought about it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm fascinated by the whole thing because I know nothing about firefighting. We had Chest Pain Rob here, which, by the way, I should tell you why we called him Chest Pain Rob. And this is just so that all the guys out there who don't know this story listen and heed my words. So stupid Chest Pain Rob goes to the emergency room one day and because he had chest pain. Right. Well, that wouldn't be enough for us to call him that. So he gets, you know, an EKG and everything. Mm-hmm. And he goes home that night and everything was fine. Got some blood work, troponins and all that stuff. He goes home and he's taking his shirt off when he and his wife are going to bed, and he's got one of the lead things still there stuck to his skin, right? And his wife goes, wait, what's that? He hadn't told his wife he went to the emergency room.
Oh, nice.
And so she goes, wait, what's that on your chest? He goes, oh, it's one of those EKG leads. I went to the emergency room today with chest pain. And oh, my goodness, did he catch holy hell. Guys, don't go to the emergency room and try to not tell your wife. And if you are going to do that, make sure she never finds out about it. Because now, I know why. I understand that she got pissed and I kind of see it. But what's the deal with that? The wives here. If your husband goes to the ER and has chest pain and then doesn't tell you about it, what is it about that that pisses you off? If anything, Jill doesn't give a shit. She hope John dies, but...
No. I mean, are you really asking that question? That's the dumbest question ever. What do you think, Jill?
Well, guys listening, and they're not going
to
believe me.
If you went to the ER because you had a laceration that they sutured up,
yeah.
Okay,
telling
maybe
you about
we don't
later.
Need to know about yeah. that. Hey, I cut my finger in it, and I had some stitches. But if you go to the ER with chest pain, and there's a possibility you're having a heart attack... in which you might die or have a major surgery, I think that's a conversation we need to talk about. So,
that
yeah.
certainly falls under
right,
how was your day category. I mean, that...
Yeah. Okay. Something you might mention before, I just noticed the EKG lead stuck to your chest.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
So anyway, that's why he's chest pain Rob forever.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was chest pain Rob because he actually had heart attacks and things like
that. No.
Okay.
No, he never did.
I thought he was really in poor health. How is he anyway?
I haven't talked to him in the longest time. He's actually, the reason I brought him up is because he was, he's an EMT with the fire department.
Okay.
So he's a first responder.
Well, hello, if you're out there.
Yep. And so how'd you get into that? That's so crazy.
So I got into it.
It's not like you're a big hulking woman either.
No,
you
no.
know?
But I have older brothers.
And I know that's a stereotype. Kind of, you wouldn't necessarily be a big hulking woman to be in the fire department. But right. that's sort of what you would sort of imagine.
Right, right.
You know?
No, I got into it because I've always enjoyed kind of physical, more demanding things, sports and all that. And somebody told me that EMS was pretty feasible to do, just like a 6-month class. So I started that way. And then... wanted to end up cutting cars because I thought that was really cool. Just seeing the jaws of life. I wanted to be able to use those, cut up cars, help extricate people.
Yeah, it's a pneumatic or hydraulic vice or sort of a reverse
vice. We used to be hydraulic.
Vice, right?
Now they're more so pneumatic.
Okay.
Or even battery powered now. They're getting really, they're so much lighter. Like the typical jaws of life that we would use when I first started weighed about 60 pounds and now they're starting to weigh around 20 pounds.
Are you kidding me?
Not even kidding.
And you can open up a car door with that mm-hmm. with a 20 pound
battery powered device.
Battery
right
powered
now.
Device?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what else you could do with that.
So that's how it started. But in order to do vehicle extrication, you had to be a firefighter. So I went through the fire class and really enjoyed that, too. So just kind of stuck with that and did
now,
that for a while.
Let me ask you this. Did you go to medical school eventually because you were driven to do it, or were you just tired of being told what to do by people who were dumber than you?
Let's go with the latter.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Let's give you one of these.
A bill?
Oh, no, wait.
Give yourself a bill?
That's why I went to medical school. I was in television, and I was doing championship wrestling and doing all this stuff, and I was moving up the ladder, and I just got so fed up of being told what to do by people who were, to me, infinitely dumber than mm-hmm. me. And I figured if I went to medical school, and that wasn't the only reason, but that was one thing that kind of finally got me to go. I always wanted to do it, and mm-hmm. I wanted to help people and all that stuff, but... that's what spurred me to finally say, hey, I need to do this. I need to make a change in my life.
Right.
So, good deal. Well, good. Well, welcome. And feel free to just jump in on all of this stuff that we're going to talk about today.
Sounds good.
Christine's never listened to the show. Matter of fact, as of...
Good for her.
3 hours ago, she just thought I was, you know, some elderly attending of hers. And then I took her out to lunch, and then she ordered a rye. And I'm like, oh, now, wait a minute. Now, this is pretty cool because I ordered Willett's bourbon, we were done with work, by the way. It was a very late lunch. And then I found out that she has a concealed carry permit. And I'm like, oh, she's a woman after my own heart. And she plays instruments, too. And it's like, hell, just come over. Tacy's at home drinking. And it'll be a big old time.
How'd you know we were drinking?
It's Friday, and you took half the day off.
So, and your name is Tacy.
Yes. And I have met you. So, all right. So anyway, don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. He is gone but not forgotten, and he will be back someday. And I guess that's it. We got anything to plug? You want to plug? Oh, Jill, yeah. You want to plug your thing?
What things? Steve?
Well, your brewery.
Oh.
So people who don't remember, P.A. Jill is married to P.A. John, who is no longer P.M. John. He's B.M. John.
Right. Brewmaster John,
Or Bowel Movement John.
Exactly, yeah. So if you're in our area, you should check out JRH Brewing. And we have our product in cans in local grocery stores and convenience stores. And obviously, you can get anything that you want at the brewery as well, and growlers and pints to go. And, you know, obviously, with the COVID situation, things are still iffy with going out, but we definitely are taking the appropriate precautions for that and having our tables spaced out. We have a lot of outdoor space. We have a food truck, which is awesome, which is at Alley Cat, which has a great...
They're all the time there?
They're there all the time, yes.
Oh.
And
yummy
And I would argue, what?
Yummy fries.
Yes, right. You've had it, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So, and a great Philly cheesesteak. And I would have to say that cheesesteaks aren't my thing. Like, that's not my go-to, but... Yeah. But they have
this
an awesome.
A good one is a good one.
Oh man, it's
for
awesome.
Sure. Yeah.
And I've seen people come from Philly and say, "Wow, this is like the best Philly cheesesteak I've had outside of the city."
Really,
it's really a good one. Yeah, and
people
they do
from
it.
Louisiana say that about my gumbo. So.
There you go. And I say that about your barbecue shrimp.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
We should do that again.
We should.
Absolutely.
So
I'm just hitting these stupid buttons way too many times today. Mm-hmm. It's just because Christina's here.
No, I like it.
Showing off.
And so,
Dr. X.
And I picked up on that a moment ago, but, you know.
Sorry.
So, but yeah, you should totally check out JRH Brewing.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, JRH Brewing. Your husband, I love to just crap on him.
Of course,
but I can't.
Right?
I can't, not for his beer maker. Everything else. I can totally crap on him because, you know, that was part of the dynamic of the show.
Right.
It was fun just crapping on P.A. John. But, you know, as a brewmaster, this guy is the real deal.
Yeah.
He's made at least two, maybe three of my favorite beers that I've had in my life. And I have been on this earth for almost 65 years.
Yeah.
And I've been drinking for 59 of those.
Yeah.
Big birthday coming up, everybody. We're getting all kinds of... Part D letters in the mail.
Oh yeah, Tacy used to when I turned 50, I would get AARP letters, and Tacy would get the mail, and she would just write ha ha in big red letters and put it in my pile because she's a turd. And then now I'm actually getting Medicare.
Now it's just sad.
I'm not getting Medicare though. I told them no, thank you.
At all?
No, I'm getting Medicare Part A, but I have good insurance, so I'm just going to do that.
At all? Are you crazy? You should totally reap your benefits.
Well,
you've been
Medicare
paying
Part
into
A
that
is
for a
free.
Long time.
So, yeah. But anyway, all right. Well, very good.
Oh, so no. I'll just continue to pay for your shit. That's okay.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Oh, we've just gone downhill. This is a terrible show. This is terrible.
That's Tacy. That's your new drop, Tacy.
Well,
did you hear
true.
It?
It's true again,
Steve,
today.
Like
let's do
well.
It again here. Let's hear Tacy's new drop. Okay.
I'm realizing now that I should have brought a
this
straw.
This is a terrible
here.
Show. This is terrible.
And then we have...
God damn, this is about as boring as sex with my wife.
I agree.
Can you please stop bullshitting and get to the questions?
You haven't answered a single fucking medical question. The fuck, man? What the fuck, man?
Your show was better when you had medical questions.
Agreed.
AIDS.
Okay, whatever. All right. Well,
did you just say AIDS like in a cheering way?
Yeah.
Yay!
Well, it's like Mark Norman does that. He just throws out random words.
There is good treatment for it now, but I mean, still.
Mark Norman just throws out random words. I love that. He did a video for a friend of mine. It was his wife's 45th birthday or something. And Mark was just walking down the street and just started just throwing out random words like coronavirus and stuff. It was just, he had to be there. Anyway, all right.
So here's a good or a bad question. You tell me, Steve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a question that was in our household for a while.
Okay.
If you could choose, would you choose, and this was early on in COVID, would
okay.
you choose HIV, which has lots of good proven treatments, yep. or would you choose COVID?
Ooh.
Okay, well, okay, one's an acute illness that could be fatal. One's a chronic illness that untreated would be fatal, but is very treatable. I think I'd take HIV.
That's interesting, because that's what P.A. John said as well. I said COVID all day long. Like,
well, you're young and mostly healthy, but
right?
you're a two-time cancer survivor,
correct.
So you could
yeah.
be, at, you know, in a risk group. I'm in a risk group for COVID-19, big time, with my age. So, HIV, you can get the retrovirus counts down to zero now.
Right, and that was John's argument. Yeah, it's like, I could have like a zero viral load and live for, never have AIDS, ever. And I'm like,
it's a lifelong regimen, though.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
True.
I don't like that. Bad.
For
I know,
some,
right?
though. I mean, is Magic Johnson still taking medicine? I mean, he got HIV when? It was Magic Johnson, right? I didn't just libel somebody, did I?
No, yes, you're correct in your
Johnson,
name. Yeah, it is Magic
HIV.
Johnson.
Because he was one of the first to get on a antiretroviral cocktail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 1991.
Okay.
So,
30 years.
Yeah. Well, 91. So you have to do Howard Stern math now. 91, 2001, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
29?
Yeah, something like that.
Almost.
Is that right?
29? Is that a year? It's
29 years. 29 years, right? I don't know. I've been drinking. I'm doing math on a Friday.
I understand what you're saying. Like, it's a total of 29 years.
We used to have,
the way you said it, I was like...
We used to have Echo.
I don't know what I thought you were saying.
And she could answer questions for us, and I have not plugged her back in since I redid the studio.
Because she sucks, Steve.
29 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There you go.
So, but he was started on the antiretrovirals really early on. But I've seen people who have zero counts, and sometimes they take them off their medicine, it doesn't come back.
Don't they say that about Charlie Sheen? Isn't he undetectable?
I don't know.
Undetectable.
I hope so. I mean, I don't want anybody to have detectable, HIV. So, anyway. All right.
Do you remember when that was so scary and it scared everybody and it was just...
Listen to me. I was in medical school when it happened, and we would put the hazmat suits on because we didn't know what it was.
Double glove, all that.
The whole thing. And I remember this. I was working in an immunology lab at the time, and there was an immunology postdoc in there. And we had just taken a virology course. We're like, it's got to be a virus. And he was like, oh, there's no way that's a virus that causes that. And he was making fun of us that we were so stupid, dumb medical students, that here he was, a PhD postdoc, that we would even entertain the idea that, that AIDS was caused by a virus. So,
wow. Yeah.
He was a dumbass.
Obviously.
Just shows there's dumbasses everywhere. The guy was a PhD. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be stupid.
Well, there were plenty of dumbasses mm-hmm. when it comes to HIV in the 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
In the early 90s.
Well, and, when you see something new like that, there would be people who are very set in their ways. For example, Helicobacter pylori. There was a time, Dr. X, you want to talk a little bit about Helicobacter and why we talk about it?
Sure. It's a bacteria that causes people to have ulcers.
Yeah, that's right.
Most typically, not in the U.S., but definitely is a problem here.
Yeah.
More prevalent in other countries. But.
So it's a bacterium that causes stomach ulcers. A lot of the gastroenterologists that I talked to were like, there is no way there is a bacterium that can live in the stomach and cause stomach ulcers. And they just thought it was hilarious until it was proven to be the case. These things where they use Koch's principles and you go in and you culture them out of there. And yes, here they are. And then you put them back in an experimental model and it causes ulcers. Well, you just proved that that's what it was.
Right.
So now we test for H. pylori every single time they do a EGD.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know, an esophagogastroduodenoscopy, which is just the typical scope from above. not like the scopes that your mother had, where she had a colonoscopy, and she said, "Now, Steve, I'm going to have one of them up your scopes."
Talk about the treatment for H. pylori, though. It's pretty intense. I mean, the treatment is it's not great.
Yeah, it's two antibiotics and a proton pump inhibitor, right? And are they still doing it that way? And the antibiotic, one of them was clarithromycin, which can be really tough on the old stomach. And then the other one is amoxicillin, right? Mm-hmm. It's been so long since I've treated it.
And we used to add Pepto to that as well. I did general surgery, yeah.
It's like 16 pills a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Pills,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 to 4 week treatment. And unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't even get rid of it.
Right.
And they'll still have symptoms.
I don't even know if a lot of doctors still treat it anymore. It was like a big thing. And
yeah,
now
I remember they used to have those, what do they call those packs that had the...
Prev packs,
yeah.
And now they're just not, it's just not much of a topic. I don't know if it's just old school news, but back in the day it was... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tested a lot. We had a breath urea test there in the office, Steve. Remember we worked where we did it together? Yeah, we would on any person that had abdominal pain with a reflux. Pain. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Everybody got the breath test.
Yep.
We had it there in the office. So could just
I wonder how sensitive that is compared to the EGD, though.
Yeah.
But you know, if it's positive, it tells you something. It's specific. It just wasn't very sensitive.
Correct. I mean, the biopsy is definitely more specific and sensitive in the answer.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, Jill, you brought up COVID-19.
I did.
So there is a new drug. U.S. Food and Drug Administration has fast-tracked a promising drug to treat COVID-19 patients, and it is in trial at Houston Methodist Hospital. So I don't know what phase they're in. It's called RLF-100. It's also known as Aviptidil. Now, Aviptidil is an interesting drug. It blocks replication of the coronavirus in human lung cells and in human white blood cells, which is pretty cool. This drug, though, is a synthetic form of human vasoactive intestinal polypeptide, which if you take that orally and it hits your gut, you're just going to have voluminous diarrhea. So I'm very interested. They're giving this IV so it never touches the gut. So this isn't going to be the drug that's going to end this because you'll have to be in the hospital to get it. But it's a promising new drug, and it looks like I'm looking at clinicaltrials.gov, by the way. Any of you all that want to look, see what's out there, if you want to track your hydroxychloroquine trials or your favipiravir trials or all of this stuff, and there's all kinds of new stuff coming out. There's a synthetic cannabinoid, so it's like CBD. So it's a synthetic version of cannabidiol, but you know, which is CBD, which is the non get you high, one of the non get you high molecules from hemp or from the pot plant too. And they're targeting a specific receptor that hopefully will prevent or with or you know, knock back cytokine storm, which we've talked about a bunch on this show. That's when the immune system sees the virus and just goes ham. And when it goes ham, what happens? Now there's too many inflammatory factors running around the bloodstream, and now all this inflammation starts to settle in the kidneys and in the lungs and all these places. Because how you figure, how does a respiratory virus cause someone to have renal failure and die, or their blood pressure to drop, or thrombosis in their arteries and stuff like that? It's all because of this total body inflammation. And this stuff will forestall that. So it's pretty cool. And it is, you know, people tout cannabis products as being, you know, panaceas for everything. Well, here's one where it actually looks like it's going to do something. So it's only in phase one trial right now. It will not be available on the market for at least a year. But they're doing studies on it now. So you can check out all these things at clinicaltrials.gov. And I'm looking at this one for this Avibactil or whatever. What did I say? Yeah, Avibactil. Novel coronavirus is known to cause respiratory failure, which is the hallmark of acute COVID-19. Approximately 50% of those who develop critical COVID-19 die despite intensive care and mechanical ventilation. Patients with critical COVID-19 respiratory failure currently treated with high-flow nasal oxygen, non-invasive ventilation, or mechanical ventilation will be treated with Avibactil, a synthetic form of human vasoactive intestinal peptide, plus maximal care versus placebo. So this will be a double-blinded, placebo-controlled trial, the at very best kind of data that we can get, where the patients don't know, the provider doesn't know. The only one that can determine who it is an independent monitoring agent or agency that's watching the data constantly to make sure that they're not slipping into an unethical situation where, you know, if the Avibactil really shows, look, nobody's dying in that group and still 50% are dying in the other group, you got to stop the trial, right? And decode it. Otherwise, they won't decode the answers until the very end. So there you go. So that's very interesting. It says non-clinical studies demonstrate that vasoactive intestinal peptide is concentrated in the lung and is specifically bound to the AT2 cell where it prevents, NMDA-induced capsaicin 3 activation in the lung. Okay.
Thanks for that. That's awesome.
It inhibits a bunch of inflammatory markers. So anyway.
Is that AT2 angiotensin, why they were targeting ACE inhibitors?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely correct. Oh, well, let me give you one of these.
Give yourself a BL!
All right. So it says 5 phase 2 trials of Avibactil have been conducted. So this should be under European regulatory authority. So this should be, okay, it's 144 participants, so this will be a phase 2 trial as well. If you remember, the phase 1 trials, they'll do 30, 40 people. Phase 2, 100 to 300. Phase 3, you know, 3,000 to 30,000. And then phase 4 is post-marketing. So very good. Very interesting. Now, one other COVID-19-related thing is we've been talking about this R-sub-T. Jill, are you familiar with that?
No.
So R-sub-T is a number. It's the average number of people who become infected by infectious person. But this is real world. So R-sub-0 is the theoretical. You know, if you put one person with COVID-19 in a group of people that have no immunity to it, how many people will they infect? The answer is about 2.4. If you do that with measles, the answer is 12. So I'm going to. So anyway, the R-sub-T uses real-world data. I'm going to have to drink something here. I'm going to hit the button. Sorry. All right. So the R-sub-T uses real-world data. So if you have an R-sub-T of 0.9, 100 people will infect 900 people. which will affect 810 people, you know, and then 720. So it'll continue to drop, right? If it's above one, you know, let's say it's 1.5, then 100 people infect 150 people, which will infect 400 or now whatever. What is it? Three something, and then 450, and it'll start to rise geometrically. When you hit an R sub T of 2, you're seeing that doubling, where 100 infect 200, 400, 800, 600, you know, and it goes crazy. So we've been talking about this for a while. Several weeks ago, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, 4/5 of the states in the United States had R sub T's above 1, so they were seeing cases increase. We are now at a point, and this, we are recording this just so that you know, August 21st, 2020, where two-thirds of the states now are below 1. That includes Michigan, Delaware, Nevada, Montana, Georgia, excellent, New Jersey, Oregon, and et cetera. Alabama, Arizona, Louisiana are at the bottom of the list. Their R sub T's are 0.8 and above, so they're doing very well. We should give them one of these. I should have just hit the applause when I hit the cough button and just, you know, let it apply, just, you know, voluminous applause. Nobody would have known the difference. North Dakota and Hawaii are the two with the highest R sub T right now, with Texas close behind.
North Dakota?
Yep. Yeah. Now, remember, this doesn't...
Was? Huh? Was that where the motorcycle rally was?
Oh, I don't know. Is that right?
It might be.
Oh, where was that?
Somewhere up there.
We could look that up.
Is that like Sturgis or something?
Yes. Yes, it was an S word.
Now, this doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to have insane numbers of cases. It just means they're having, you know, they're having a lot of spread right now, community spread.
Right. Well, you would just think about North Dakota is not very popular.
Right.
People
right.
are spread out. Why is that happening? That seems
yeah, theirs is 1.2. Well,
and also, I thought Hawaii had all these really strict restrictions.
Why.
Which
it's a pretty populated island, right? I mean, there's only so many places you can go as well.
And the other thing is, listen, the highest in this country right now is 1.27.
Wow. Okay. South Dakota.
That's pretty good for everybody.
So
yeah.
let's say,
what I was thinking. Sturgis is in South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Okay, well, South Dakota is number 3.
Okay.
So when you get down to, say, Alaska, and so Alaska is 6th in line, your R sub T is 1.08. All of these states are so close that people say, mask, don't do nothing. Well, okay, if you're a mask don't do nothing person, will you grant me that it might prevent 10% of transmission? Even if that means 90% of the time it will do absolutely nothing. If you're wearing the mask, it's just like you're not wearing it. But 10%, one time in 10, will you grant me that? Because if you will, then wearing a mask will get all of these states down below 1.0.
I love the people who wear the masks in grocery stores around their neck. Like they wear them just to get into the building.
Yeah, and then they bring
take
it down.
Them off.
Or we were at the bank the other day, and there was a person in there. And when she would talk to us, she would pull her mask down. It's like, no, that's when it needs to be up, honey.
Right.
Oh, we were laughing so hard and trying not to laugh at her, but even our kids were laughing at her because it was hilarious.
Yeah. She'd come right over there and she'd have her mask on. As soon as she'd start talking, she'd pull her mask down. It's like, stop. Please stop doing that.
This right here says Sturgis motorcycle rally tied to new coronavirus cases, a state away in Nebraska.
Oh, is that right? So it was in Nebraska or it was in South Dakota?
Oh, it was in South Dakota.
But it was people went back to Nebraska and brought
so
it with
it was
them.
Close. Okay. Just like our big old fashioned Bristol Motor Speedway incident we had.
Did anybody?
Oh, wait, they said no COVID was related to Bristol Motor Speedway.
I'm sure it was.
Casey, what are you speaking of?
Was there, though? I mean, what are we?
I don't know of any. That's why I asked Casey. They released a statement that said there was no COVID.
Well, they really tried hard to not to be able to put it on and not have anything happen. So they did some you know, they did a lot of stuff there. And if they can demonstrate that you can do something like that and not have a big major outbreak, then, you know, bravo to them.
Just a really bad idea in general.
Well, I know.
And it's just like schools are getting ready to go back. And we'll see every place that seems like schools are going back to, there's always a big outbreak after, regardless of the protocols and precautions.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. We're getting ready to see, so we'll let you know in a couple of weeks.
Right. But, and hopefully that statement is true about the Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah, me too.
They really are using that as a standard. Like, hey, they've already had a large organization. I mean, you know, NCAA
so this is what they
football.
Did. This is what they did. Yeah. They are all team members required to wear a face mask at all times. Fans are required to wear a face mask when they arrive while entering the gates, which is where there's congestion. And in high traffic areas, fans may feel free to remove their mask when they're in their assigned seat location. Social distancing will be required among groups of fans in the grandstands and individually in concession lines, and restrooms will be required. Well, that's all we ask for, really. If you social distance and you wash your hands and you wear your mask when you can't social distance, what else can we do until we have a vaccine? I mean, that's all that anybody's asking anybody to do.
I mean, you have to live, and we've done things like that. I have seen on Facebook where people complain about having to go into a restaurant with a mask on but being able to take it off when they sit down, and how they don't understand that. And it's like, but that's where the congestion is.
The congestion's at the coming in and going, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're like, well, that's just stupid.
Now, they're doing temperature checks for their employees. And by the way, if you want to reassure the public, if you've got a restaurant and they can't social distance in the kitchen, you want to reassure the public, just let everybody know that you're screening your employees before they come in.
Yes.
And they're doing, all guests will be required to have a non-invasive temperature check before entering the gates. So, you know, they picked up a few people that had fevers that they kicked out. Now, not everyone who has COVID-19 has a fever. But, if we can knock out 10% of this, when we've got R-sub-T, one, that was our dog, by the way.
What's he doing?
Ralphie,
is he throwing
what do you
up?
Think? No, he's just digging it. Ralphie, what do you think? Come here, Ralph. What do you think? Can you? Nothing. Okay. He's got nothing to say. if you can knock down 10% of it and get that R sub T below 1, that's all we're trying to do. Get the R sub T below 1, and this will diminish on its own.
You know, this whole time I thought that our rise in numbers was due to that Bristol Motor Speedway. So I did not know that they're saying no.
They're saying no.
Yeah,
because I was pretty angry that they were even trying to do that.
I'll tell you what, though, Tace, is a lot of people that come to Bristol would have gone somewhere else. You know, they aren't from around here, a lot of them. So, No, I think ours was just that there were places that really weren't paying attention to some of the rules. I've been by some bars where people had no masks on. They were all mushed in together.
Or do you think beach vacations maybe had some stuff to do with it?
Maybe. But, you know, we did a beach vacation. And
we didn't go anywhere, do anything.
Right. The easiest thing to do was to stay away from other people at the beach because it's wide open.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and then we went in and cooked. And every morning, the 65-year-old went out and, you know, braved the shopping.
Only because he wouldn't let me do it. But then I wouldn't have wanted to do it. So then there's that.
Who cares if I die, right, Tace?
Oh, I do. Very much so.
So the other thing they did at Bristol Motor Speedway was limited attendance. It was less than 25% of the seating capacity. So good for them on
how
that.
How many does that... See, I mean, you can fit
over 100,000, yeah.
But still, 25% of the seating capacity, plenty of space for people to spread out.
Correct. Yeah.
They did contactless tickets and concessions, and parking passes had to be reserved prior to the event to make sure that people weren't all mushed up together. Let me see. They didn't allow coolers. I don't get that. Well, that's just so they can sell stuff in the thing. That has nothing to do with safety. And then they did cleaning. They had hand sanitizer everywhere. They had employees PPE, and they were monitoring restrooms, all that stuff. I good for them.
Well, good. Know? There's nothing better than watching people watching at a NASCAR race. There really isn't.
My favorite thing
to do. I mean, it's like nothing you've ever seen before. Tattoos on the side of the road, you know.
Oh, you mean
renting
doing
showers,
tattoos.
Yeah. Doing tattoos on the side of the road, doing showers. It was like an extravaganza.
Pre-COVID, it was pretty cool because, yes, all these people would be mushed together right near Jill's house.
Oh, yes.
And, yes, there would be people who were selling showers, and then they would take the towel and hang it out, and then when they'd have like five towels, then when the next person came, they'd take the most
no,
dry towel
come on.
And give it to them. Oh,
no.
I've seen it. Yes, I've seen it. Yep. Not the Speedway didn't do that. These were individuals that were making a couple of bucks at the.
That was one of the funnest nights we've had. That was.
I absolutely agree.
We didn't stay for the whole race. It was just getting to it that was so awesome.
That's big fun.
Yeah, it was loads of fun.
Tailgating for a race.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, want to take some questions?
Yeah.
All right.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right, and that asshole would be me.
I can't wait to give some advice.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I had a quick question. I was in Vegas, and I was drinking fairly heavily. I coughed up some stomach acid in the back of my throat, and this happened on New Year's, and I've been feeling like this tingling, like burning sensation, like in the back of my throat ever since. Mm. Needless to say, it's going on about 5 weeks. I'm wondering what I should do. You think it'll go away, or if you have any suggestions? Thank you so much. Appreciate your help.
Okay. Tace, you want to take that one?
Nope.
No? Okay. Jill?
Well, that seemed right up your alley, Tacy. What are you talking about?
I know,
right? I mean, I would think, yes, that would go away. That's a...
So what has he got?
Yeah, so he has he had some reflux, and he's just irritated his esophagus with his reflux from his
alcohol.
He's
probably still refluxing. That's the thing.
Correct.
And
yeah.
He just was able to be asymptomatic before, but now he's got it riled up in
there.
You
think it was maybe the beginning of something?
Yeah. So now when he lays down at night, stomach acid, mm-hmm. you know, works its way up into his esophagus and continues to irritate it.
Correct. Yes, I agree.
So, Dr. X, what do you think he should do?
Depending on the amount of alcohol he's drinking, maybe cutting down some and then also going for...
Oh, God. We don't ever advise that.
Stop.
I know. That's just this
horrible advice. Listen to her. She's just a baby.
And it's going
on. Okay, we're just kidding. Yes, he needs to
cut. Just depending on the amount.
Yeah, he needs to cut
And
back.
Then also getting an acid pill, like pantoprazole, trying that out for a month.
Yeah. So a PPI or an H2 blocker or just, you know, chug some Gaviscon or Mylanta before you go to bed at night mm-hmm. and try that first. Now, if you find a lot of people who are listening may have this problem where they wake up in the middle of the night with just fluid in their esophagus. And I used to aspirate it, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And if you drink or eat a lot of carbohydrates before you go to bed, you're more at risk of that. And that valve called the lower esophageal sphincter, which is it's not even a valve. It's just sort of a muscle ring that tries to keep stomach fluids in the stomach and esophageal fluids or mucus protected. And you lay down at night, and then sometimes it'll just open up and your whole stomach will flood up into your esophagus.
Yeah, you need to try to eat earlier in the evening also. And you're right about the alcohol, because I know, like, Friday, I don't have heartburn. Maybe I'll get it on Friday night, maybe mm-hmm. Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly why that is.
You're not binge drinking, are you, Tace?
No.
Yeah, and carbonated beverages, I think, make a big difference in that, too. You know, really, just those mm-hmm. bubbles.
Chocolate.
Bring it up in your esophagus more.
I have had people that have this, that
caffeine.
I have put on a low-carb diet, and they say that their reflux goes away. So if you are having that mechanical reflux where it's coming up when you're laying down flat, well, don't lay down flat, but don't lay on a pillow either. You know, some people put pillows behind their back and sort of lay sitting up. Well, if you're a regular obese American, what you're really doing is the stomach fat will then push in on your stomach and actually increase the pressure and increase the amount of reflux. So instead, you want to put a couple of bricks or some riser, something that will raise the head of your bed up about 2 or 3 inches, and therefore you can let gravity be your friend. And Gaviscon is a brand name of a a liquid antacid that actually floats. And so for people who have mechanical reflux, no carbohydrates within 4 to 6 hours before, and really shouldn't eat within 4 to 6 hours, but it, for sure, no bread, potatoes, potato chips or cereal. People eat cereal before they go to bed. None of that within 4 to 6 hours. Go easy on the alcohol before you go to bed. Raise the head of your bed and then take some floating Gaviscon before you go to bed. Some people can manage it just with that. Now, if you have persistent symptoms, then you have to go get checked out. Back in the day when I trained, you would give people an H2 blocker, which is like ranitidine, which is off the market now, Zantac, or Pepcid you can buy over the counter for 6 weeks. And then if they still had symptoms, they had to be scoped. They're a little bit more lax about that. Now, what are they teaching you now, Dr. X?
That same thing. The acid blockers like the omeprazole, the pantoprazole for a month. And if symptoms are continuing, then you got to go get the scope.
Yeah. Have you – you took physics, right?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about it? It always boggles my mind. A proton pump inhibitor. You know what? A proton.
H+.
A naked proton. Is, yes, it's a hydrogen nucleus, but a naked proton is a quantum object. It's three quarks bound together. How in the hell did nature figure out a way to pump quantum objects from one place to the other before, you know, millions of years? You know that the stupid dinosaurs had them. Millions of years before we ever even conceived of quantum physics at all. I mean, quantum physics is only 50, 60, 70 years old. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
And there's a meat pump, it's protein, that can take naked protons and move them from one place to the other. That just blows my mind. So anyway. We were talking about why the universe is math-based on a show a long time ago. Tacy and I have these philosophical physics-based conversations.
Not ever.
Not once.
But, you know, two dinosaurs going to get water at a watering hole, there's still two of them, even if the two of them are too dumb to know that there's two of them, so... Anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
What on earth?
All right.
Yeah, you lost me there.
Honey, you married somebody else. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, man. I've been actually trying to stay away from most of the COVID stuff, but I kind of had a brain fart.
Is this Stacy?
If you look at the American Cancer Society.
Stacy Deloach, everyone. Let's can't not acknowledge Stacy if he's calling in. All right. Okay,
606,000 people died last year from cancer. So far, there's like 165,000. I know that sounds horrible, but 165,000 have died from COVID or COVID-related. I mean, if you have a motor vehicle accident, you have tested positive, then I guess they count that as a COVID death.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Oh, Steve, I've been hearing that so much.
That's still less than one-third.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. I know what point he's going to make. Let's talk a little bit. Have you had any, without violating HIPAA, have you had any COVID deaths? Do you guys do your death certificates yourselves?
No.
Or do your attendings do them?
Attendings do them.
That's another thing. Okay. Anyway, the United States has had 174,000 deaths that were attributed to COVID. So I do death certificates. And the way that we were instructed by the state was not if they died with COVID to say that that was a COVID death. They said if you have someone that's in a car wreck and they test positive, that's not a COVID death.
Are they testing people who have died?
Well, sometimes that might happen. Whether they already tested them. Let's say they tested them on Tuesday and their test is still pending. And
so
then on Wednesday they have
case.
A car wreck.
Okay.
And no, they're not just testing them at random just because somebody dies. So we were instructed not to call that a COVID death. So I know this, at least the state of Tennessee is not trying to hyperinflate those numbers. Now, some hospitals may.
It's all over Facebook, but that's exactly what's happening.
And it's not. There may be some hospitals that are inflating some numbers because they might be able to get some more money.
Are they getting
money
more
that
money?
Way. My understanding is there are places that if you meet a certain threshold of critical COVID cases, then you can get some more money. But you should be using that for ventilators and PPEs and stuff like that.
So it's not a general standard rule. It's just happening with unscrupulous.
What?
Unscrupulous.
Yeah,
people.
Very good. You got it. So, yes, because let's just say I have someone who dies of, secondary pneumonia. They got a bacterial pneumonia, but the bacterial pneumonia was started because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So they had COVID-19, they got a viral pneumonia, they got better from that, but then they had a subsequent viral or bacterial pneumonia, and that's what they died from respiratory failure. My death certificate that I wrote for that patient would say respiratory failure as a consequence of bacterial pneumonia as a consequence of COVID-19. Now, that would be considered a COVID death because the the SARS-CoV-2 was the proximate cause of this person's demise. If they hadn't gotten that, they'd still be alive today. And I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we're taught to do that, and that's how we're mandated to do that from the state. So, okay, so anyway, so what's Stacy saying here? I got to get a new damn mouse. This thing is no longer working properly. Okay, let's go.
The number of people that die from cancer. Don't you wish people got more proud about being healthy, not getting cancer?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, that's the answer. Yes, I do. I wish people would mitigate their risk for everything. We're really cool about mitigating risk of getting this coronavirus because it's scary. But people still smoke. People still binge drink. People still do, have unprotected intercourse with people they don't know, stuff like that. So, yeah, I would like for people still don't wear their seatbelts,
mm-hmm.
So, yes, I would like for everyone to mitigate all risk in their lives. But that's really hard to do, and that's all we can do. We can only mitigate it. Not smoking doesn't guarantee it that you won't get lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And smoking doesn't mean you will get it. It just increases your risk, and not smoking decreases your risk. So, yes, I do. We need to put this stuff in perspective. We do this with opioids, too. Dr. X and I this week have written a ton of opioids because we deal with cancer patients. And cancer pain is difficult to treat with other medications, so we use a lot of opioids. But, they'll talk about, we have all these opioid-related deaths, and that's true. 90-some X% of them now are caused by illicit drug use, not prescription drug use, but anyway. But then if you look at things like deaths from Tylenol, deaths from alcohol, deaths from uncontrolled diabetes, those things all dwarf the opioid deaths.
So it's just the big topic of the news.
But it is a big topic. Well, it's something that we should be preventing, no mm-hmm. question about that.
Oh, I know there's put it problems in perspective. With it. There are.
So that's all Stacy's saying, and I agree with them. We got to put this stuff in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me see. We've got.
So Steve, who say, when do we let this end? COVID's a thing.
Yep.
It's affecting everything. When do we go back and
just let it happen
and live our normal life? And when does this end? I've seen this.
I know exactly.
On again, Facebook, forever. They ask, is it a vaccine? Is it? And I think your answer to that would probably be yes.
Well, that's one of the.
Could you get everybody to take it?
People give our president all kinds of rations of stuff, and he deserves some of it or a lot of it. But one thing that he said recently that's really true is that the first thing we really need to hit is a therapeutic while we're waiting for a vaccine. He's right. So I'm still hoping favipiravir, which is a pill that you can give early on in the course of the illness, will prevent people from going to the hospital, prevent people from dying, and then then we can go back to normal if it works, if it's effective enough. So, okay. Thanks to my wife, Tacy. You're always a delight. Thanks to P.A. Jill. Great to see you. Thanks, Dr. X. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, Lewis Johnson, Paul Obcharski, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, the great Rob Bartlett, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to my niece Holly, whose support of the show has always been just, she's a nut. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Hey, I just wanted to make a quick announcement. My niece, Chris, is a PhD speech pathologist, nationally renowned. And you all may have noticed that my voice I've been having some problems over the last few months. I left in my choking spell so she could listen to it instead of just editing it out and sending it to her. I thought I'd make you all suffer too. And she's made a couple of diagnoses and some recommendations, and I'm going to get that looked at. It looks like I've got some laryngospasm from a floppy vocal cords and floppy laryngeal muscles, probably due to age and the way that I use my voice. So I'm going to be pursuing that in the future, and hopefully we'll see some improvement. Anyway, so big shout out to my niece, Christine, who is quite the genius. And of course, I can't mention her without mentioning my other niece, Holly, who is not only listens to the podcast, but listens to the SiriusXM show. She's insane. So thank you both. Love you guys very much. And we'll see you all next week.